from the trails, woods, and waters of the Great Lakes State to the Michigan Talk Network. It's Wild Michigan with your host, Duran Martinez.
Duran Martinez all over the world via the interwebs, wildmichiganradio.com, and on our Facebook page. You can find us at Wild Michigan. We have put up, of course, a link to the Michigan DNR because it is free fishing weekend this weekend. You can get out. You can go fishing without a license. You don't need a license. You do have to follow catch limits and, of course, size limits out there and species, everything. All that can be found at the Michigan DNR website. Michigan.gov/DNR, and all the information you need will be there for Free Fishing Weekend, being brought to you in part by our friends at Conquest Scents out of Davison, Michigan, makers of great stuff like Evercalm and VS1, and the United Deer Farmers of Michigan joining us, and one of our other great sponsors, Not Just Guns, Cedar Street at 127 in Mason. Their Wednesday night auctions can be found at NotJustGuns.com, and we've got Mike Green from Not Just Guns joining us right now. Mike, welcome back, man. It's been a little bit. We talked a little bit last time about this whole pandemic thing, how you guys were going to go forward with operations during this pandemic. Now the governor has been very generous, I say with such sarcasm, to lift restrictions on businesses opening up. And moving forward, you guys are back open, and welcome back, sir, and welcome back to what I like to call hashtag Open Michigan.
Absolutely. It's great to be here.
Now, go ahead, man.
Oh, it's definitely been a challenge. We were really happy to be able to get away from the appointment only, and I think a lot of our customers, too.
You know, it's still, you know what, I still haven't had a haircut in like 3 months, and that's no joke.
I know.
And my buddy, I'm going to give my buddy Pat at Jerry's Hairport a quick plug because he is finally going to be doing business. He's going to be doing business solo because, you know, his chair arrangements aren't really 6 feet apart. It's kind of a small shop, you know, good old-fashioned barber. So he's going to be doing things on his own. And fortunately, you're not in the hair business. You're in the gun business. And I can't imagine that auction slowed down. You had to have seen a spike in your Wednesday night auctions at NotJustGuns.com.
We did. They were doubling and tripling. So we usually run 400 items, roughly, as an average. And the whole time through this whole COVID deal, we jumped up to between 750 and 1,000 items a week.
Wow.
Yeah. A lot less used guns than we normally have because the people weren't able to get in here. Being appointment only, you're real limited. We had to do a little more shipping and try to ship the product out to as many people as we could so that the people that wanted to come in and shop could still get appointments and get in. It was tumultuous, but the auctions definitely have been booming.
Mike Green from Not Just Guns joining us here on Wild Michigan. Mike, I want to talk about shipping guns because, you know, somebody that's new to this whole thing might think, you know, hey, I can, you know, get an order of gun online. Everything's passed and approved and everything, and have it right to my door. That's not exactly the case.
It is not. If you were to buy a gun online or have a family member that wanted to ship you a gun or vice versa, it always needs to be shipped through an FFL. The only exception to that is if you're shipping a gun back for repair or to a manufacturer or authorized repair facility, you can then directly ship it. But a federal firearms license, we just happen to call it FFL, that's where it needs to go. Somebody wins a gun on our auction and it goes out of state or out of town, they want it to go to their local dealer, then we ship it to their local dealer. The dealer and us exchange the information we need to operate within the constraints of the law, and boom, the gun shows up. They do their paperwork there, background check, et cetera, 4473 form, and out the door they go.
Now, Mike, is there a general professional courtesy between you guys, or is there fees involved? I would think if I'm an FFL dealer, and I've got somebody picking up a gun that they want or something, I would probably, you know, offer that service gratis. So maybe it's some extra business coming through my door, some, you know, maybe ammunition, maybe accessories or the like.
And that's true to a point. Everybody has a different outlook on it. We do anywhere from 25 to 40 transfers a week, depending on what's going on and in a political climate. But everybody has a different way of looking at it. Some people do it. Some stores do it for very inexpensive. Some charge a lot. I look at it kind of like this. It's bringing someone in the door. You're providing a service for them, but we do have to charge for it. We've got to employ, you know, employees to do the same paperwork as if you bought it from us.
Sure.
I have to hold that paperwork forever. One mistake, we could lose a license. So there's a lot riding on doing that transfer. So there has to be some type of a charge to it. We've been the same straight rate for year after year after year now for 8 years. We've been at $45. Now, we do work with people, regulars, people that do a lot of transfers or multiple things. We're not set in stone. We just can't give it away for free.
No, you know what? I get that. Now, you know, hearing what all is involved, I forget that you guys have to have the books. You guys have to enter everything, but you know, a lot of times by hand into that big thick book. That, I mean, look, I used to sell guns myself years ago, and writing things in and making sure every number is exactly correct, every I dotted, every T crossed. Because
absolutely.
I mean, this is you know, federal stuff, I guess, for lack of a better term.
Well, and let's throw something out there real quick, not to get off topic, but the feds do not recognize a Michigan CPL as a background check any longer. A couple months ago, that changed. So now everybody, whether you have a CPL or not, which is a concealed pistol license, in the past, that was, you were vetted, that was a background check. As long as it wasn't expired or revoked, you were in good standing. Not true anymore. We have to do a background check on every individual, which then is more time, more money, et cetera.
Wow, that, you know what? And I'm glad you brought that up, because I didn't know that. It's been a while since I've been to a banquet and won a gun or two. And to have that, I mean, it used to be, you got a CPL, I would show my CPL and say everything, oh, yep, you're good, you know, for a long gun, a handgun, of course, you'd still have to wait with everything else. But that's interesting stuff. I didn't know that.
Yeah, it changed on March 3rd of this year. So we you know, it's a new challenge. You couldn't get a delay. There's obviously less people at the second level of the FBI NICS system. So the first people, if your name's John Smith and they have to look deeper into you or other people trying to disseminate who you are,
mm-hmm.
It goes to second level. It goes to second level. There's a delay at times because there's just so many that are overwhelmed. It bottlenecks. Fewer people at that level. So now we get a customer that drives 2 hours that's used to picking up a gun and bought it on our auction. He gets here, and because they're busy on their end, he gets delayed. That causes a problem, and we've had to get real creative, you know, in the way we're doing things just to operate and facilitate that process for the people that do drive over to pick up a gun. Now maybe a transfer might be more appealing to them.
Absolutely. Speaking with Mike Green from Not Just Guns, find them online, notjustguns.com. They're Wednesday night auctions. Of course, you can find them on our website, direct link at wildmichiganradio.com. And Mike, I appreciate that information, because normally I'm, you know, we do a lot of these banquets and things, and I'm very involved in what's going on with the gun rules and things, because we're giving away guns. We have that ability to let people win firearms at these events, you know, and it used to be that they could take most of them home. Still, with in-law, like muzzle loaders, things like that, you can still take those home that night, as far as I know, unless that's changed too.
Nope, it's truly a muzzle loader, and it can't be converted. Like a Pro Hunter, Thompson Center Pro Hunter, could be a muzzle loader or a rifle. That would still be considered a firearm or a receiver.
All right.
Anything else, muzzle loader can go out the door, no problem.
Okay, and that's good info to know as well. We're going to speak more with Mike Green from Not Just Guns. We're going to talk a little bit about everyday carry, not just the firearm you're carrying, but what else you might be keeping with you to protect yourself or to maybe get yourself out of a pickle should you need it. It's Wild Michigan on the Michigan Talk Network.
You can join us on Facebook or listen to podcasts, all from our website at wildmichiganradio.com. Now, back to Duran Martinez and Wild Michigan.
Cross the line at an altitude time. Interstate 94 more miles through the Great Lakes State. Turn it up so the bus ain't late. Another night in Michigan.
Welcome back to Wild Michigan. I'm Duran Martinez, being brought to you by the United Deer Farmers of Michigan. Find out what they've got going on at thetruthaboutcwd.com. Some fine folks from the United Deer Farmers on a couple of weeks ago. Some great information about what they are doing to not only promote their sport and the farming and the raising of deer in Michigan, but to help the whole herd in Michigan. And they are putting a lot of money into CWD research. You can find it at thetruthaboutcwd.com. And we'll got that linked up on our website at wildmichiganradio.com right now. Mike Green from Not Just Guns is joining us. And Mike, everyday carry, it's a term that a lot of people in the gun world or the concealed or open carry world know. Okay. And it's not just about the firearm you're carrying with you, concealed or otherwise. We've talked about that a lot, but there are other things that people like to carry as well, and it's not just for personal protection. But what are some of those things? Because, you know, there are some guys out there that have the everyday carry kit that is on their person at all times, and what are some of the things that this could include?
Well, as you said, not just a firearm and holster, spare magazine, stuff we think of in the firearm world, but you've got knives, seatbelt cutters, or a knife, a multi-tool, keys, organizer, flashlight. You know, I think we saw a lot of EDC gear, EDC meaning everyday carry gear, and everybody's a little different, and we have some common things that we may all share in common as far as, you know, a knife, a gun, our keys, a wallet, this, that, the other. But like for me, for instance, I carry a pocket knife, or two. I've got a Glock tool, hence my trade, a little screwdriver. I've got a flashlight, firearm, spare mag, a wallet, a key organizer. This is just what I carry here. Now, if I was going to be off on vacation for a week, that gear may change. I don't need a Glock tool in my pocket. I don't need this. I don't need that. But it's actually become its own industry out there, everyday carry gear, multi-tools, flashlights, knives, key organizers. People carry little compasses. You just name it. It's dependent what you're doing and where your inner city guy may be different from somebody out in a rural area.
Now, Mike Green from Not Just Guns is our guest here on Wild Michigan. Mike, I see on your Facebook page a lot. You guys carry a nice selection of knives. And some of them are automatic open. We used to call those stiletto back in the day. I'm not sure what the industry term is for them now. But the question is, are those legal? Because at one point in time, they weren't.
They are legal. We carry a lot of different knives, like the name says, not just guns. Knives out the front, OTF is a real popular knife. Basically, October 10th of 2017, Michigan changed and reverted its laws and made automatic knives, or what we would call stilettos, which is an incorrect term, but switchblade. We still cannot carry a double-edged knife, meaning that it cannot have two sharpened edges. We do have some knife length laws. The 3-inch rule does apply, but we can have the wonderful automatic knives now.
And that was pretty interesting because I've seen them on the website. I'm like, wow, can we carry those out the front knives like that?
Yep.
I mean, you sell them, but to actually carry, and again, this is a single edge knife, not a double edged knife, more of a cutting tool rather than it's going to be a defensive tool, whether you look at it that way or not. But categorically, single edge is the legal way to go.
It is. And whether the knife comes straight out the front, like an OTF out the front, or whether it comes out the side, automatic knives are legal. And they're very handy. If your hands are full and you go to grab something and want to cut it, you can pull your knife out. You can actually stick the knife right out by touching a button and use it. and switch it back in by pushing the button the other way, back in your pocket. You've done it all one-handed safely. Most of these knives have safeties on them, and they're like everything else. There's quality levels for everything and a price range to go with it.
That's pretty cool. Now, who are some of the manufacturers of these knives that you guys have in your shop?
We carry and sell a lot of the Microtech. Microtech is a fantastic company. They're really known for their autos. They're out the front. They're the best in the world, in my opinion, or some of the best. We carry Benchmade. We sell an awful lot of Spyderco. We do some CRKT, Columbia Knife River Tool, Gerber. We do a little bit of Kershaw and Zero Tolerance. But the number one sellers are the Microtechs, the Spydercos, and the Benchmades.
That's cool. I've seen them a lot online on your Facebook page for Not Just Guns, and I'm always curious. And you're like 5 minutes from me, literally. And it's probably safer that I'm not going to Mason much. Because, and I'm surprised after all this time, too, that I have not just, you know, become like a fixture in the store. As much as I like guns and the products you have there, you guys have had some great stuff over the course of the year and a half that we've been able to deal with you here. Very appreciative of having you on the show. And your staff there is, you know, you have the same staff since we started working with you. And to me, that is terribly important as well, because turnover, I mean, look, let's nothing against the big box stores, okay? I'm not going to take away from them. But when you are dealing with firearms and maybe you buy a lot, you want to deal with the same person, because sometimes personalities conflict. Sometimes there's not enough information being given by the person at the counter because, hey, you know, you're working field and stream today. Tomorrow you're over in the golf department. You know, I mean, this is what's so important about dealing with a firearms dealer per se, rather than, you know, just the everything in one place store.
Well, and you got to look at it like this. This is the honest to God truth. This past weekend, three of my employees were out taking classes. And not only are they taking fundamental classes and jumping right into these classes with customers and friends and people that we see at the range and other places, but they're also taking advanced courses to better their skills and knowledge. They're spending their own hard-earned money on educating themselves, not just on the products that they buy and that they get a discount on and all that, but in their training and knowledge. They're all certified RSOs. A lot of them could go right out and teach a class right now with knowledge that they have obtained over the years of doing this. And we really promote that here. It's a lifestyle, and these guys are all in.
That's awesome. And y'all get that. That's why we like dealing with Not Just Guns. It's a friendly atmosphere, and I've said it before, and I'm not singling out any dealer shop or anything in particular, but a lot of times I've gone into places and you get that "what are you doing here" look, not the "how can I help you" look. You know what I mean? And that goes across the board. I've talked to people that have written books on gun shops, have traveled the country to get the experience, and they said the same thing. It's not just me saying that; it's other people, and that's why, again, we are happy to have you and everybody from Not Just Guns on the show.
We're glad to be here.
Absolutely. Check out Mike Green and the staff at Not Just Guns, notjustguns.com, Wednesday night auctions. Great stuff for your everyday carry, and maybe you can add to that yourself. So, Mike, appreciate you joining us. More coming your way here on Wild Michigan on the Michigan Talk Network.
I still believe.
Hey, Michiganiacs, this is your blood brother Ted Nugent celebrating the almighty Michigan Spirit of the Wild with my blood brother Duran Martinez on Wild Michigan. Go Wild!
Welcome back to Wild Michigan. I'm Duran Martinez, all over the Great Lakes State, all over the world. On the radio, man. Very happy to have you here. We are in June, moving forward towards the free fishing weekend. Of course, this will air during the free fishing weekend. And if you're catching it after the fact, it's okay. Just know the fishing regulations and rules of the body of water you are on. Catch limits, size limits, and all those things keep you legal. And make sure that you, if you're not doing the free fishing weekend thing, that you have a license. for fishing here in Michigan. Tickets and the education are expensive in that respect. Thanks to our good friend Mike Green from Not Just Guns, updating us on everyday carry and some of the things since the COVID-19, the pandemic of 2020 that they've been going through. And I want to thank our friends at Conquest Sense again for coming on board with us. Conquest Sense, along with the United Deer Farmers of Michigan, also sponsors here of the show. Our good friend Dan Kimmel from GreatLakesBass.com is joining us. We are in the Dan, we're getting close to the bass season, because I know June we have the bass opener. It's been a while since I've dedicated myself to bass fishing specifically, but if I ever want rules or regulations or anything of that nature, you're my guy.
Yeah, I still am the guy. I don't always keep up on everything now like I should, but mostly like I'm talking to 100 and I don't know how many executive orders people keep at, and now they're asking me about Canada. I said, I can't even read all the Michigan ones. I'm not going to read all the Canada ones.
Right.
But, yeah, it's I've been trying to make up for your not being able to bass fish by trying to bass fish more. So and it seems like a lot of other people are, too, with this, you know, COVID situation.
I mean, it's kind of funny because we've been able to target bass in the off season as of a couple of years ago, which is nice. You know, if you just want to go out and you want to practice with it. I mean, frankly, I can't think of why we used to keep largemouth bass back in the day and eat them. I don't recall any great taste out of them. But
yeah,
I hear other things about smallmouth.
I'm not much of a fish eater, but largemouth is way, way down the list for me, especially in the summer. You know, they just, they're not the tastiest fish in the summer, especially the lakes I like to fish in the, you know, this time of year in summer.
That's funny, but... But, I mean, how has the fishing been? We had a lot of rain. We had a period of a lot of rain in the early portions of the spring. We've had some hot weather, which, you know, I mean, we're getting towards that, or right about that spawning season right about now. And how has that, the high water and some of the earlier warmer temperatures been affecting the fishing?
Yeah, it's been a very challenging spring. And it's been a good spring, but it's been very challenging because I fish one lake. I've been fishing over 30 years every spring, and this year I'm fishing a new lake. There's so much water. There's backwaters that have been cut off for years and years and years, and I'm getting into all those now because the roads that cut them off are all flooded, and I'm finding that's where a lot of the bass are going, which is pretty typical of largemouth bass. They follow the water in the spring, and they'll go as far back as they can in some cases. So it's made the fishing different, and you need to adapt to that. I mean, we have lakes that are super high, and we have lakes that are record high. You know, we're not even talking to Great Lakes that are at record highs. And I've been out smallmouth fishing on Lake St. Clair a few times, and they're generally doing what they're doing. It's just the spots they're in are 2-3 feet deeper than they used to be. So you just need to be prepared for that. And I keep telling people you have to wear a decent pair of polarized glasses or you're going to catch more fish.
You know, and that's just it, too. Eyewear for sight fishing is so important. We had a deal with Costa Fishing Glasses. They make just some phenomenal fishing eyewear, and glass to me is the way to go. Although there are other ones that are plastic impact resistant, which are important, but for clarity and everything, those to me have been the absolute best that I've used, and I'm not even being sponsored by them anymore, and I love them.
Yeah, I wore Costas for years and years. I would get there was a lab that they approved that would make what I need, the blended trifocals. It's horrible, but I'm having a heck of a time seeing my line through these little hook eyes. But I wore those for years because they had a shade called Vermilion that nobody makes anymore. They quit making that. Was an awesome sight fish. And that's the other thing. You need to, if you want to sight fish in Michigan, especially in the spring, you need to get away from gray. There's, you know, copper tints and amber tints. All of those, they let a little more light in, but they do a great job of contrast and highlights, and you just see so much better. A lot of fish I catch, I see them before I catch them, and you can do that all year in Michigan thanks to our great water.
Absolutely. You know, my two biggest largemouth were from sight fishing, looking down from the top of a bridge by a great big rock up in the UP. I looked down, and there they were. You know, so I went down, and just within three casts, I had both fish caught and released in no time. But again, you know, water clarity has a big a lot to do with that, and the good quality eyewear as well.
Yeah, and I love sneaking up on them, too. And one tip, I forget to mention this all the time, but when you're sight fishing, whether it's beds or not, I mean, right now it's a lot of beds fishing. They're on beds everywhere right now, at least in the southern half of the state. I always try to come at them with the sun behind me because fish can see a little better than us, especially in the lower light parts of the day because of the refraction. So a lot of times they'll see you before you see them. So I try to position myself with that sun over my shoulder, and I can sneak up on them a lot better and catch a lot more of those fish. It's one of my really good little tips. I don't see a lot of people practicing that.
Dan Kimmel's our guest. GreatLakesBass.com is where you can find him. Always updating, always working on the website when he's not fishing. But if you don't mind, I mean, you were out at Round Lake here out in Lanesburg area not that long ago. How has that been? That's one of those kind of, it's, I wouldn't say it's a hidden gem, but it's not a very fished lake.
Yeah, it's surprising, and there can be days when a lot of fishermen are out there, but that's what made me think of sunglasses. I see so many not wearing sunglasses just for safety, but they're not seeing things. They're bluegill bed fishing, and probably there's more bigger bluegill in that lake because they don't see the deeper beds. And when I'm fishing them, I try to be a little stealthy because those really big bluegills are the ones that produce, really well. But Round Lake is, I don't know how an 84-acre lake can have that many pike, bass, and dogfish in it. The dogfish in particular, I've never seen as many dogfish per acre in my life as are in that lake. But it's got a trillion minnows. I saw a school of minnows the other day that was over 100 feet long and probably 40 feet wide.
Wow.
I don't even have any idea how many minnows that would be.
Man, that's like the world's largest bait ball, probably. I mean, like ocean proportions. But you're right. I mean, there are a lot of pike in that lake, and it's not a very big lake. The dogfish count, yeah, there's a lot out there. And it's, I mean, you really have to have that place mapped out because there's a lot of shallow water that runs out far in that area as well.
Yeah, the bass behave a little different on that lake than they might on some lakes just because there's hardly any deep water. There's a couple holes. Neither one of them is real deep. There's not a lot of structure, but if you look at like a satellite image, you can see pretty much everything you need to know about that lake. But the number of big bass, I've caught bass almost 7 pounds in there. I've caught pike close to 20 pounds, and every year I get 4 or 5 pike well over 10 pounds. And people are always saying, well, you didn't catch your big pike, I'll bet. There's some huge pike in that lake, but I think they're like little resident pike. They see everybody and everything, and you just have to fish them really good. Now, I try not to catch them, and I still catch them, so I tell people if you want to catch a big pike there, I guess just go bass fishing.
Right. Yeah, it's like Mr. Crappie, Wally Marshall says, the biggest bass I ever caught was while crappie fishing, with the smallest jig. And it doesn't always have to be big for big fish.
No, especially this time of year. This time of year, they're feeding on big baits because you got stuff left over from last year, and they're feeding on tiny baits. So it can be a weird bite. And that's, people tease me because I carry so many rods and reels. I tell people I don't like to retie, and I get bored easy. But it's partly because I want to try a lot of different things. Because if you hit on the right thing for that particular time or day, you'll catch so many more fish. You'll get Kevin Van Dam or something.
Right on. Dan Kimmel, GreatLakesBass.com, joining us. Got a whole other segment coming your way. Going to talk a little bit about bass fishing here on Wild Michigan.
You can send your suggestions, comments, or questions to us here via email at outdoormailbag@gmail.com. Now, back to Wild Michigan.
Turn the quiet up. Turn the noise down. Let this old world just spin around.
Welcome back to Wild Michigan. I'm Durant Martinez. Brought to you by our friends, the United Deer Farmers of Michigan. Great people over there, man. And they're doing lots of work on CWD research here in Michigan, putting a lot of their own money into not just the health of their herd, but the health of Michigan's deer herd and the herds across the nation as well. You can see all that at the truth about CWD.com. And right now, Dan Kimmel from GreatLakesBass.com joining me here on the show for this weekend. People, it's going to be the weather. I mean, we had some rain earlier this week of recording, and of course, we get these nice stretches of good days, some cooler weather that we're ramping up. About a month ago, when we talked to our friend Andy Provenzano, the meteorologist for WILX TV 10, said we would see some days in June reaching 90 degrees. The humidity wouldn't be that bad, but they would still be hot. And I'm thinking we're probably going to get some humidity as we move in towards July. But Dan, that heat, how is that affecting the bass fishing? Because we know that air temperature, water temperature, are always two different things. Even when we have days of probably cooler air temps, that sun hitting the water has got to warm it up a little bit.
Yeah, you can see 5, 6, 7, 8 degree change during a day on certain lakes. The darker bottom lakes heat up faster. And you need to adjust for that, too, because you're going to have more fish moving in fast. You mentioned Round Lake, and I checked one of my offshore kind of hidden bluegill bedding areas, and I thought something was wrong because it's about 4 times bigger than it has ever been. And I think it's just because all the bluegills decided, hey, let's go spawn right now. I mean, it's really sunny. The water's warming up really fast. Got a full moon the other day.
Right.
And I could not believe how many.
And for guys doing that panfish fishing right now, too, that's kind of a nice thing because, you know, you can fill the freezer and get some good, decent fish out of it. And, it's interesting to see how these fish react and how things change from year to year. Yeah, they may be in the same location, but the numbers may change.
Yeah, you've got higher water and different. The cover looks different. Everything's acting different. And you just have to, I always tell people, you need to be observant. Always look around you. I even look around the top of the water to see if things are skipping, see if a lot of ducks or fish birds are around. And I kind of gauge how fast or slow to fish a lot of times by that. So it's just, just adjust. And the polarized classes look real hard. And keep changing lures and keep changing locations. Because right now there are a lot of fish real active because on some lakes it's warmed up really fast.
Dan Kimmel's our guest here. GreatLakesBass.com is his website here on Wild Michigan. Dan, when I've done the Bassmaster Classics in the past, I've had the opportunity to be first to see some lures and things of that nature. And I've seen them put together lures that look like a bait ball, things, that have like multiple eyes, look like multiple fish swimming. But when I look at it, is that for us? Or is that really working with fish? Because the size isn't going to change. Like a bait ball, like a group of minnows will kind of fluctuate size-wise and shape-wise as they, swim through the water. That one's pretty much going to keep the same shape. Is that visually for us, or is that really helping catching fish?
Well, that's a great question because I always joke about how there's, 56 lures of colors of one lure because there's so many different fishermen, but there are lures that work, and I try to tell people don't buy every color because you're going to want more than one because there's slub pike. But what those guys are so competitive and it's so tough at that top level that they're always looking for some tiny little edge. But the Alabama rig craze was unbelievable. I mean, for it to be so good that a lot of the tournaments now banned using them in a tournament, which I think is kind of silly in a way. Other than, I guess, in some places they accidentally snag a lot of fish. But anything that this time of year would be good because you got all these big hatches going on. So you have big – I like to use flashy lures. I like spinnerbaits that vibrate a lot so mm-hmm. the wire's not real stiff. Because if you watch minnows in the water, they do flicker a lot. And I even – one thing I learned years ago that makes a huge difference, I love jerkbaits. When they first come out, though, you had to be used to seeing a ton of fish follow that wouldn't bite. After a while, I thought, well, this is silly. So now I tie my own treble hooks with crystal flash from the fly tying guys. Because when you see a minnow swim through the water, it darts all these different little colors, and that's what crystal flash does. And that changed my life with jerkbaits. I mean, so many more fish turned into biters that I never, almost ever fish a jerkbait without a dressed tail like that.
Dan Kimmel's our guest here on Wild Michigan. Dan, you know, I used to liken it to like camouflage. You know, if it looks good to us, it's automatically got to be good. Which,
yeah. One thing to understand about all these lures is that if you're really confident, you're actually going to catch more fish. You know, you see fishermen out there and they got a lure that supposedly the hottest lure in the world, and you can tell they're not buying into it totally because they're not paying attention at all. They throw out five casts, don't watch what they're doing, and then put it away. And now that lure is not as good as everybody says it is. So confidence plays a big part in how many fish you catch.
Dan Kimmel's our guest here. Dan, have you ever used Livingston lures?
I have not tried theirs. I've seen them like you probably have at the Classic. I know a few people really like them. It's just I love crankbaits, and I've got so many that I really like. I don't really have room for more.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't know if I'll ever try it. I think some of them had a laser or something or built-in sound.
There's
thing.
There's a built-in sound vibration thing. Randy Howell, when he won the Classic here, my first year at the Classic in Alabama, he had pulled out this red crawfish, and that's actually what helped him win the tournament. And I asked him, I said, you know, this is your sponsor. You've never even used these lures before. What made you go to that one? And he looks at me, he's like, you know, that's a great question. He goes, I just looked down at my box. He's like, I'll try this. So
yeah.
There wasn't a lot of science behind it. The guy ends up winning his first Bassmaster Classic.
And I pick lures that way sometimes. So, you know, if I'm not catching them good, I'm going to keep trying things. But I've played with lasers, those small lasers you can get like a pen in the water. And I've seen some really interesting things with them. I've seen certain fish that will follow that beam like a cat. And I've seen other fish that immediately just run away at high speed, terrified. So it's kind of like a red lure for me. When red is working really good, you're going to catch way more fish than the other guy. And when it stops working, you got to take it off or you're not going to catch anything. So I kind of look at it maybe that way. And, I don't want to complicate my fishing too much. And I really like the Strike King square bills because they're built to not track straight.
Mm-hmm.
They're actually built to be a little off balance and to track back and forth, and I like that.
Now, what about adjusting your crankbaits? Because that's something I've never learned the technique of adjusting your crankbaits, and frankly, once it comes out of the package, that's how it looks to me. But there are ways to do it, correct?
Yeah, if you're lucky, your crankbait runs good out of the box, but I've had even batches of crankbaits that don't vibrate right. They won't catch the water right. Sometimes you can't fix that. You can try weighting them a little bit with like some lead tape or something. But the easiest one is when you have a crankbait that's running to the right or running to the left, you just take pliers and you grab the front eye loop of the lure and you turn it whichever way it's running. If it's running right, you turn it a tiny bit to the left. You don't want to bend it very far, and that's what you do. You just keep bending a little bit the other way until it runs straight. And a lot of times you can fix a bait that's running crooked that way.
Interesting. And, you know, and the thing is, too, I've never thought about, you know, how they did it, and that seems a lot more simple than I thought they were doing it. I don't know how they were doing it, but I guess that makes a lot of sense. You know, and again, these are honest questions coming from me because I don't have all the answers, and I'm not going to pretend either.
Right. Well, I don't either. That's why I keep going fishing. But there are people who actually make their crankbaits track right or left on purpose because they'll run them under docks and stuff. I've done that a little bit, but I tend to get snagged more often, so I have different lures I use. But you can do that. Same thing with buzz bait, spinner baits, anything with a wire tie, you can actually make it run crooked on purpose if you need it to.
All right, Dan Kimmel joining us, GreatLakesBass.com. You've been working on your website. Of course, you do other people's websites, and with all this pandemic stuff going on, I'm sure you've been quite busy on your own updating everybody's COVID, you know, procedures and whatnot.
Yeah, they're canceling meetings. They're adding meetings. They're having virtual meetings. They, you know, the instructions. I've got like four or five updates like that today. And I'm trying to figure out exactly what we can and can't do right now because people are starting to ask me more because everybody wants to get going. But really, a lot of people are fishing because I don't know if everybody knows this, but Michigan fishing license sales are up over 12% right now, which is awesome.
Well, good. Good to hear, man. Dan, as always, appreciate you joining us. You can find him, GreatLakesBass.com. There's a link on our website at WildMichiganRadio.com. Thanks to our friends at Not Just Guns, Cedar Street at 127 in Mason. our friends at Conquest Sense, Davis in Michigan, and of course, United Deer Farmers of Michigan as well. More coming your way. It's Wild Michigan on the Michigan Talk Network.